What's on your mind, Cairns? Call 1300 872 911 now to talk to Macca. Thanks to Pacific Toyota. Better service, better range, better by far North Queensland. On 846 4CA.
Let's have a quick look at the history of marine stingers here in North Queensland. You know, early reports coming through, I mean, the ones that to me are early anyway, World War II, for example, the servicemen here from the United States, there were servicemen here from all over Australia. What did they do in summertime? They wanted to get some relief from the heat. They'd go in the ocean and swim. And suddenly there were reports emerging of the most dreadful, agonising stings. And there wasn't much knowledge really about what the hell was causing them. Of course, back in then, the box jellyfish, it became fairly evident because they were big, etc., agonising. And then, of course, the Irukandji became prominent as well. But that was very much later, very, very much later. In fact, I remember talking to then Premier Peter Beattie, which would be, I don't know, 20 years ago, and I said, oh, Peter, we've got an issue with these new things they've found called Irukandji. And Peter Beattie said, what's an Irukandji? So, relatively speaking, the Irukandji, the knowledge about the Irukandji is very, very new. Now, let's go to other developments in recent decades. Of course, the stinger nets. I mean, as everyone said, is that going to really work? And it didn't sort of happen overnight. They did a heck of a lot of study to see what would work and what wouldn't. Ultimately, we've got a fairly successful model that we use now, of course, every summer. And they're now an automatic addition to our facilities up here in summer. They're not entirely stinger-proof, as you would know, particularly with the bloody things when the tentacles break off and they can get through into the nets. But generally speaking, with the drags the lifesavers do in the morning, we can get a fairly safe experience in summertime up here. But there's a new development. And I've only picked up on it this morning from JCU. In fact, we've got a PhD candidate over there called Scott Morrissey. And what has he come up with? Well, the prospect of picking up jellyfish DNA, box jellyfish DNA, I presume. If you could pick up the DNA in the seawater, maybe you're going to get a better, if you like, ability to forecast when they're going to be arriving in significant numbers and representing a real danger. Scott Morrissey's on the line. Hello, Scott.
Hello, John.
Let's go back over those years. When did you become interested in these bloody things?
I started working on them back in 2018.
What were you looking at then? Because a lot of the developments in understanding the box jellyfish and the Irukandji have been in relatively recent decades.
Yeah, so back then I was working on a completely different species, one that is a pain in Hawaii. But in the last 3 or 4 years, I've been working on the Australian box jellyfish here, which is the most venomous animal on the planet.
Is it?
It is. Incredibly nasty sting.
Exactly. The history of it. I mean, I've read articles that talk about the screaming in agony of, for example, military people in Cairns, based in Cairns in World War II. And they didn't have a clue what the hell was causing it.
Yeah. We really don't want to be stung by these guys. The bigger ones will... You know, they can be potentially fatal if you get more than about 2.5 meters of tentacle on you. And the little Irukandji just give you an absolute world of hurt. And some people have described the pain as a power drill to the lower back, which sounds absolutely horrific.
I remember a diver north of here who said to me once, he was out on one of the islands and... He copped an Irukandji sting across his forehead, and he said to me when he got out of the water, had he been able to find a pistol, a gun, he would have committed suicide instantly. Such was the intensity of the pain.
It's 11 out of 10, that pain. It's really, really nasty.
I've never heard that term before. 11 out of 10. Look, talk to me, what's the issue these days? Let's, before we get on to your studies... If you do cop an Irukandji sting these days, if you do a box jellyfish sting, what's the immediate response? People say, oh, go and get some vinegar as quickly as you can, but what's available beyond that when it comes to treatment?
Vinegar is the advice. So vinegar, you pour it on the sting site and it can wash off the tentacle and stop any further stinging cells from firing off. So that's very, very important. And then after that, 4000 and get medical attention as soon as you possibly can.
What's the nature of the threat to the body? Is it so intense, the pain and the assault on the on your body, that you could have a heart attack or whatever?
Yeah, so the toxin goes through your heart. It can cause it to clamp up, which can lead to, you know, a heart attack. It can increase your blood pressure. Some species can cause an allergic reaction. So there's lots of nasty things that can happen.
Mm. In your view, what's more dangerous? Is it the Irukandji or the box jellyfish?
Well, I'm a bit biased because I work on the box jellyfish. But the big box jellyfish will kill you. And tragically, the last 3 years, there's been two fatalities in Australia, quite young children, which is not the greatest. So I think, you know, I think they're quite the nastier one.
Now, let's go to your studies. What are you on to at the moment? What have you detected that we need to know about?
So there's this really cool new technique called environmental DNA. And what it is so as an animal, like a jellyfish, swims through their environment, they leave behind genetic material in the form of shed skin cells, hair, mucus, saliva. And this is the material that we call environmental DNA or eDNA. And we can go into the environment, so like go down to the beach, take a water sample, and through use of some laboratory assays, we can examine the DNA in that water sample and determine what animals are around or if a particular species is present in the area. And this makes the technique really useful for studying hard-to-find animals, such as box jellyfish. And this is going to help us to improve our ability to understand these creatures, and that in turn will help us keep swimming safer.
Isn't this interesting? Because at the moment, well, there's the seasonal information. We think, oh, well, we'll do some drags and we should be able to pick them up late December, early January or whatever, hopefully. But what you're saying is it'll be much more accurate. You'll be able to forecast their arrival perhaps on our beaches weeks before the other means that we use are going to give us the information.
Yeah, we can use it to sample in areas to see if their eDNA is in the area, which is indicative of the species being there. Mm. But what's really cool about this technique is that we can actually find box jellyfish's winter stage, which is super cool.
Please expand on that for us.
Yeah, so box jellyfish in winter, they are in that polyp stage, and they look like tiny little anemones that are living somewhere on the sea floor. And these polyps are what grow up to be the nasty stinging jellyfish.
Yes.
And so we really need to know where they are so we can get a better idea of where the actual nasty stingers are coming from.
Mm.
And traditionally, you know, we've struggled to actually find these polyps because they are incredibly tiny. They're about 1 to 2 millimeters in size. But with this eDNA technology, you know, we can simply take water samples in winter, look for their DNA, you know, kind of like a crime show does looking for fingerprints, to work out where they are, which is awesome.
Certainly, yes. Don't go away. Come back to, well, I don't know if they're old wives' tales or old fishermen's tales, but the word has always been, oh, well, if you get a late wet, you don't have the situation where they'll wash out of the streams, the creeks and the rivers, so you'll get a later arrival on our beaches, the box jellyfish. Could there be any strength in that theory?
Currently, we don't have an idea of what causes them to show up, or what causes more to be around or less to be around. That's something we're all working on as a whole of the field. It's really quite difficult to work that out because these jellyfish are so spatially dispersed and hard to find.
Yeah.
But hopefully with eDNA, we'll be able to start answering those sorts of questions.
Mm. When we know when we know their whereabouts and when they're going to be an issue, we've still got nets that are to a certain extent, you know, that you can, they can permeate the nets, which is an issue. Do you think we'll ever get to a situation where we'll have a net that can be, you know, deployed at our beaches that will give us total protection, particularly, of course, from those bloody Irukandji tentacles?
Yeah, so the nets at the minute, the Irukandji could potentially swim inside them. But if you make that net get smaller, you know, you end up getting more like seaweed and that getting stuck on the net, and you have to clean it more often. So it's just not, it's not too cost efficient to be able to do that. So I always say, you know, regardless if you're swimming in a net or not, just always wear a stinger suit because that's the best way you can protect yourself from these critters.
How effective do you think the nets are against the Chironex flickeri, the box jellies?
Very effective. Those Chironex flickeri, they're quite large. They can get up to, you know, 25 centimetres wide, acceptable size, and they definitely can't get inside those nets.
Can the tentacles break off like they do with the smaller ones?
Yeah, they could, yeah. They could drift through. But with these animals, you know, you need 2.5 metres of, you know, contact with tentacle on your body for it to really be a threat. You still get a nasty sting, but the chance of it, you know, really killing you is decreased.
Oh, Scott, this has been bloody fascinating. Well, particularly for people up here, of course. Do you simultaneously study both Irukandji and Chironex flickeri?
I just work on Chironex flickeri at the minute. But this technology that I've been using, we can apply it to any and all jellyfish species, which is really quite exciting.
Mm-hmm. Very, very interesting developments. We'll stay in touch if you don't mind, because the pace of what you're actually finding out about these bloody things is obviously quite, what would you call it? It's moving quite quickly, and people in North Queensland will be wanting every available piece of knowledge because they are quite fearful in summertime heading into the seas. Thank you, Scott.
Not a problem. Thanks for having me.
Listen, this is an interesting study. His name's Scott Morrissey, and now he's at James Cook University. He's a PhD candidate.